Welcome to the Becoming You podcast, the podcast for women who are ready to unlock a more confident, joyful, and fulfilling life. I'm Megan, life coach and breathwork facilitator, and your no-nonsense bestie, here to provide you with the tools, resources, and insights you need to thrive. Every fortnight, we'll be diving into topics that matter the most to you, whether it's overcoming self-doubt, embracing your authentic self, or learning how to actually regulate your nervous system. Don't worry, I've got you covered. So let's jump in to this week's episode. Hello and welcome to season 4, episode 5 of the Becoming You podcast. This topic today, this conversation lights me up. Not only because it follows on really well from the last conversation that we had, which was about the abandonment wound and abandonment issues, but also because it is something that we all can relate to. It is the mother wound. And the mother wound is what's passed on through generations, from mothers to daughters, through trauma, through their experiences, through patterns of behavior, through how we communicate, through our attachment styles. And this is a cycle that continues until someone in the family decides that they are going to break the cycle. Until someone says, actually, this trauma, this cycle, it stops with me. And it's powerful. This is why I'm very excited to talk about it. And this is the thing. We all have a mother wound because we all have a mother. And often we are unwilling or afraid to look at that because we feel like it's a betrayal. We feel like we are betraying our mum when we acknowledge and validate our own experience that we had as a child. And I get it, because I felt like this in the beginning of my journey as well. Especially if you feel like you had a seemingly normal childhood, right? And I think most of us feel that way. My childhood was normal. How do you know what normal is? You only had your experience to compare it to. We don't know what is quote unquote normal. And that's okay. Something I want to actually mention about this topic and about this conversation is that it's not about blaming your mother for how she raised you, for the things that she did. It's not about that. It is about giving you some insights into why you operate the way that you do, why you behave the way that you do, give you some awareness so that you can start healing that within yourself, so that you can start taking self-responsibility. So it's more of an insight piece and an understanding piece than it ever is about blame. It's not about blame. But we cannot heal things that we are unwilling to see. We cannot heal things we're unwilling to raise. And this is why it's a really important conversation. The relationship that we have with our mother is the most important one because it is the foundation that sets us up for every single other relationship that we have in our lives. And she's also the epitome of what we think it is to be a woman. If you think about that, as a child, your mother is what you think is the epitome of being a woman because that's all you know. That's all you have to go off. Again, you have no other comparison. So what did you learn from your mother about what it means to be a woman? What did you learn from her about how you should show up in the world? What did you learn about how to manage your emotions, to how to manage your finances, how to manage your relationships? What did she teach you? And there's some depth you can go into there. There's some questions that you can really answer to get more of an understanding and more of a picture of the belief system that was created for you from a very young age. So today I'm going to talk about the mother archetypes. So how this different kind of mothers would show up, and then how those things can manifest in the daughter as an adult. The first archetype is the critical mother. She is controlling. The critical mother has an underlying tone of negativity and a lack of praise. So she will make comments about your appearance, your weight, your choices. And this often creates a feeling of not being good enough. It also creates a fear of failure because when the child makes mistakes, the mother is very critical of that. And this creates shame. And in turn, as an adult, This translates to a very loud inner critic, because the critical voice of the mother then becomes your internal narrative. So a very loud inner critic that can also create criticism in others. So people who have had a critical mother are often critical of their partners, of their friends, of their job. They like to control things. Maybe they nag as a way of feeling in control and feeling safe. There is a perfectionism that comes with these children. They need to get things done right. And this is seeking unconsciously the validation and praise from your mother that you're never going to get and you never did get. But that part of you desperately wants it. And this then transfers across into relationships where you then seek the praise and validation from your romantic partner or your friends because you struggle to give it to yourself. And interestingly, what can come up with a critical mother is this sense of rebellion from the child. We often do this in our teenage years anyway. Most teenagers go through a rebellious stage because that's when we realize that we are our own person and we like to see how we can push things and how we can live in our own identity. But for children of critical parents, you can get stuck in that inner teen phase where it's like, fuck you. Fuck you, mum. I'm going to do the opposite of the things that you said, that you tried to control, that you criticized me on. I'm not going to take care of myself. I'm not going to prioritize my health. Like a big fuck you. And that gets you stuck. It keeps you stuck in that teenage mindset. Whereas the adult part of you might say things like, I just really wish I could take better care of myself. I really wish I prioritized my self-care more. There is an internal conflict that happens because you are trying to gain a sense of control. The rebellion is trying to get back your sense of control, not realizing that you're actually damaging yourself in the process of that. And this can be a really hard cycle to break because the criticism can be so fucking loud that it's quite hard to get out of, but it's possible. And I say it's possible because I resonate the most with the critical mother as my experience, and I've managed to shift so much of that inner narrative. I've managed to shift the perfectionism, the fear of failure, the fear of not being good enough. You can actually move through those things, and I think that's just important to say here. The second archetype is the overprotective mother. This is the helicopter parent. The mother who is also controlling, but from a place of anxiety, from a place of fear. She's protective and she's coddling, right? She almost feels like her daughter is incapable of doing certain things. She might speak on her behalf. She might say things like, oh, she's just a little bit shy or she can't really do that thing. She will push her own limitations onto her daughter. Because there is a fear that she won't succeed. She won't be able to do the things because the mother needs to be in control. And often this child takes on the identity of what the mother is saying because we can't sort out who we are versus who we are told we are when we're a child. We have no ability to do that. So we just sort of wear the hat we are given. And this creates confusion and a sense of being lost as an adult. Adults who had an overprotective mother lack independence, confidence, the ability to make decisions for themselves because they didn't have to do that, right? They always had that mother to rely on and they question themselves. This is another place where validation comes into the mix. They look to other people to make decisions for them because they don't know what's right and wrong for themselves. In fact, they don't really know who they are. There's not a good sense of self. It creates a lot of anxiety in people. And this can also manifest as very constant communication with the mother. So even as adults, lots of checking in with the mother, almost like big decisions that need to happen in life. It's like, I just need to check that my mum thinks this is okay. Is this the right thing? And if it's not like that, again, that is that responsibility is pushed onto someone else, so often a partner. So it moves from being the mum's job to sort of like tell me everything's okay to being the partner's job to let me know everything's okay. So there's a little bit of codependency that gets created there. And it's almost like you're stuck in this childlike place where you are seeking the authority of your mother. The third archetype is the emotionally unavailable mother. She is physically present. So maybe she was a stay-at-home mom, or she was in the home. She was physically there, but emotionally, she was distant. She was emotionally disconnected. There was a lack of affection, almost like a coldness, right? This is often women who cannot connect to their emotions. So they will say, everything's fine. It's all good. No worries. Like very dismissive of big emotions because they actually can't hold it for themselves. They actually don't know how to regulate their own emotions. So they'll tend to just say, everything's fine, which creates a disconnect between the mother and the child, right? Because the child feels a sense of abandonment. They can't connect to the mother on a deep level. There is a lack of closeness. And this translates into a feeling of being unlovable, being unworthy, feeling neglected, lacking connection in their own relationships. Because if no one taught you how to feel your emotions and actually connect with somebody else, how will you learn to do that for yourself? Often a disconnect in your own body to your own emotions, a dismissiveness of your own needs as well. Sometimes, when there's a lack of physical affection, physical touch, the child can become equally like that. So they don't like to be touched. There's not that physical connection. Or they can go the complete opposite way, where this is something they deeply desire. So they're overly touchy-feely, overly affectionate. Even to the point of sort of not respecting other people's boundaries, because this is a need they want to be met. When in relationships, it can often manifest as loneliness, feelings of not being seen, and difficulty trusting others. The fourth archetype is the enmeshed mother. These are the mothers that are like best friends with their daughters. Right? People who say, oh, me and my mom are best friends. Yeah, I can tell her anything. Like, we're so cool. She's super chill. A little bit of a red flag there because this mother is overly involved in the child's life and lacks boundaries. And we know that boundaries are such an important thing to learn about and to be modeled, and for you to learn that you are your own person. And so an enmeshed mother has a real deep connection and attachment to their child. And it can create confusion in the child because they don't learn what their roles and responsibilities are in the world, in the household. And they can often be parentified. So this can happen when parents have divorces, for example, where the child becomes like the confidant for the mother. This is the person that she's sharing her emotions with and talking through all of these big, I guess, life emotions and life things with her child, and the child's holding space for that. And that's really not a child's job. And so as a child, if that happens, it sort of becomes this question for them of where's my safety and stability? Like, where's it safe for me to be seen, to be held, to have my big emotions? There isn't any sort of safety there because the mother isn't being presented as an authority figure. Instead, she's being presented as a friend. And children need structure and they need some kind of authority. What can also happen is when this child sort of becomes a teenager, starts going out, starts hanging out with their friends or getting a boyfriend, there can be guilt tripping that happens from the mother because she's deeply attached. So there's this sense of like jealousy. Oh, you never spend any time with me anymore. You're always going out with your friends, which then makes the child or teenager feel guilty and then want to rectify that, almost want to comfort and fix the parent, which is not their job. And so it can really create a codependency in relationships too. And for this child to become the parent, quote unquote, in their other relationships, trying to be there and parent and help everybody else. The fifth archetype is the narcissistic mother. I just want to say here, what I mean by this is narcissistic tendencies, because honestly, the word narcissist is just being flung around these days, like everyone's a narcissist, and that's just not fucking true. People can have narcissistic tendencies and they're not actually narcissists, right? So I just want to make that very clear. But the narcissistic mother, I'm using that term because it's easier, can often refer to people who also have addictions, that they can fall into this category as well. So this mother prioritizes her needs and desires over the child. A lot of manipulation happens in this archetype. It's actually just a really dysregulated environment. So a lot of push and pull, chaotic environments, highs and lows, because the mother can't emotionally regulate. So it's almost like the household, the environment is driven by the mother's emotions. And this creates hypervigilance in the child, of course, because the unpredictability of her mother's mood is the thing that she becomes very attuned to. And so you learn to navigate that emotional volatility from a young age. This then carries on into your adult relationships, where you are constantly on edge. You are noticing subtle shifts in people. You're wondering if you've done something wrong. And this creates a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety in the body. As children as well, they feel unloved, unchosen, right? Because the mother is putting herself first. The narcissistic mother also creates these people-pleasing tendencies. If, as a child, you are in an unpredictable environment where you're not sure the kind of the version of your mother you're going to receive, you are likely going to go into a fawn response, because that's what keeps you safe. So I am just going to be the person you need me to be. I'm just going to show up in the way that you need me to be so that I am safe. This is where the people pleasing comes from. And you feel helpless. You feel out of control. And so a lot of the time, there is a desire to fix other people. If you are a child of a narcissistic mother, you want to fix everyone just like you've been trying to fix your own parent. And resentment. Resentment because you go above and beyond. Resentment because you people please and you have these expectations of other people and they don't meet them. And that can create this feeling of loneliness too. And like I said, yeah, resentment for other people. The sixth archetype is the absent mother. And this is physically absent, either because there was a breakup in the home and the mother left, or that the mother actually passed away and the mother is no longer on this earth in her physical form. And obviously this creates abandonment, because for the first months, even years of our lives, we don't realize that we are separate from our mother. So even in like a normal childhood where your mother might go to work, or maybe you have a nanny or you go to daycare, there is an aching within this child's body. This is very well documented. This is what attachment styles are actually based on, is the first 18 months of your life, because it's so fucking important for the security of a child that they have this really secure attachment with their mother. And so you will notice that there is this aching, this pain that comes for children when their mothers are away, even if it's for work or it's for whatever. So that is deepened when the mother is just absent. She is not actually there at all. So this creates an abandonment wound. There is an underlying persistent feeling of loss, especially if it's from a young age where the mother is not there, or being rejected, this feeling of being rejected, which will obviously play out into relationships in the future, right? This is absolutely going to plague every single relationship if left unhealed. If a mother passes away and the child is not given space to grieve, this can also create more problems in the body, because it doesn't just go away. And if the story for a child was, for whatever reason, you know, because the dad, it's really hard to deal with, or it was just a situation that is obviously very difficult for everybody involved. If the story is that we just get on with it and, well, she's not coming back, so let's just fucking move on, this creates dis-ease in the body. It creates stored emotions in there. And so anyone that has gone through this, has lost a mother at a young age, it is so important as part of the process for you to actually grieve that loss and process the emotions that need to be processed through that, because they don't go anywhere. They're actually just stuck in the body and will create physical disease, if not already creating mental health issues, right? And this is the thing with this kind of loss, you are reminded constantly, whether it's birthdays, whether it's her anniversary, whether it is life milestones, these things are going to be triggered throughout your life. And so, especially with a loss of a mother, it's so important to actually grieve that loss and allow yourself to feel that and process that. And that will be a fucking journey. Like, it's a journey for anyone that loses a parent, right? And whatever time in their life, but especially as children. And with all of these things, with all of these different archetypes that I've spoken about today, the first thing that we have to do, not only when it is to do with a mother passing, is grieve the loss of the childhood that we wish we had. Actually, all of this, no matter what kind of upbringing that you had, no matter what kind of mother you had, you have to acknowledge and validate your own experience, and you have to grieve it. Whether it's grieving the childhood or it's even grieving the relationship you wish you had with her now, it's the first step. So often we say to ourselves, I'm an adult now and I get it. It was hard for my parents and they were doing the best that they could with the resources they had. And absolutely, that's fucking true. It's so true. And they created some wounds in you. And sometimes what they did wasn't enough. And you were deeply hurt. And we often forget this piece. We forget that two truths can exist because we're complex. We're complex humans. Feelings are complex. It's okay that you have this mother wound and you want to grieve for that child part of you. And maybe you have a great relationship with your mum right now. That's okay. You're actually not betraying anybody or blaming anybody to acknowledge your own experience, to validate your own experience. And after that, what we get to do is actually reparent ourselves. And we do this because we say, this stops with me. And I am going to give myself and my inner child the love and the support and the reassurance that I need or that I desired, so I can do that for me now. Not only that, but I can do it for the children that I either have or I will have in the future, because the cycle stops here. It's not even just about your children. It's about every single relationship that you have in your life. Every single thing is connected. When you work on the mother wound, you will simultaneously heal so many other relationships in your world. And I actually want to pause here to just talk about something that I'm bringing to life, something that I'm launching, which I'm so beyond excited about because this is fucking transformational. And it's actually an 8-week program that I'm running called Healing the Mother Wound. And this is what we're diving into. So there's going to be a real educational piece around these archetypes, around what the mother wound is, how it shows up. And then specifically for you, what it is that you're healing, what you're moving through, and how to do that. This is going to be an intimate container of women that are committed to healing their shit and taking self-responsibility to improving their lives and the lives of their children, whether they have children right now, whether they're going to have children in the future, or whether they're just going to influence other people's children. Because like I said, this impacts everybody that you meet. It is a collective healing. So it's 8 weeks together. We are diving into inner child work, inner teen work. We're going to look at all these different archetypes and how you can actually move through these things. I'm so fucking excited about this. So I'm actually going to put the link to my page if you want to read a little bit more about what's involved in that in the show notes. And if you have any questions, you can obviously reach out to me on Instagram. The last thing I want to share about the final archetype, which is the secure mother. And the secure mother is what it looks like in the perfect world, right? What we actually get, what we need as women to grow up with a secure attachment style. And so the secure mother is balanced in support and encouragement. There are rules and boundaries, but also we feel safe to go to her for help, for advice, when we're confused, when we feel lost. We actually know that she'll hold space for us to just be, right? Without criticism, without feeling scared to tell her the truth. There's a real balance between that authority and the softness and the nurturing that we actually need as humans, not even just as children, but as humans. The secure mother can regulate her nervous system. She can allow her emotions to be there, and you will witness them, and you will witness her actually move through them and know that it's okay, which allows you to then be vulnerable yourself and to regulate your nervous system. And it's also done through co-regulation as well, because we're always co-regulating with people. So when you have a mother that can regulate herself, she is inadvertently helping you regulate as well. The secure mother also has a really good support system. And so whether you witness her in a relationship, either with the father or with the partner or with her friends and her community, she has a support system and it shows that she belongs. And again, when we see that the mother belongs, we feel like we belong, because as children, we don't know that we're separate, right? She is also connected to her body. How many of us think that our mothers were connected to their body? I don't. There's so much disconnection. So the secure mother is connected to her body. She's intuitive. She actually knows what other people need, and she knows what she needs. And she meets her own needs first, which means that she doesn't burn out. She's not resentful. Right? She's actually filling her own cup up first. The secure mother speaks about herself in a positive way, and she speaks about the world in a positive way. And she can also balance her masculine and feminine energy. This is fucking massive. So many women are so deeply in their masculine because they're hypervigilant, because they're anxious, because they're hyper independent, because of these wounds, right? And the feminine is not like that. The feminine is open and receptive. She's here to receive. That's literally the feminine. So the secure mother can balance her own energies within her. So she's not actually seeking it outside of herself, right? She's not seeking for someone to validate, for someone to give her the reassurance, for someone to make her feel lovable. She just is. She just knows that she is, which then passes down onto the children, who also know they are innately worthy and lovable. And so the secure mother creates children that have healthy self-esteem, good self-image, a good sense of self, independent, resilient. And the reason it builds resilience is because they know they have the ability to do hard things, because they've got the foundation of the mother there as safety, so they can take risks without being coddled, without being criticized, without being too protected. It gives children the ability to know that you can do these things. And guess what? Even if you fail, that's okay. And I know that most of you listening to this right now will wish that you had the secure mother. It sounds like a fairy tale. It sounds like, oh my God, that would have been so good. But I've got news for you. You actually can be the secure mother for yourself right now, from this day forward. And for your children or your future children, you actually get to do that, because you're now responsible and it's your story and you get to continue it how you choose. And this is the fucking power in this work. So If you are interested in diving deeper into this subject, if you are like, I am fucking all in on doing this work because I really want to heal these wounds, then link to my program is in the show notes. And if you have any questions, please reach out to me on Instagram. We actually start on the 15th of October. I'm so excited about this. And if nothing else, I hope that this episode gave you some insights into your own experience and give you some awareness so that you can actually start moving forward now in your own life. Thanks for tuning in to the Becoming You podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe or share on your socials and tag me at @MeganScholey_. It really helps us reach more amazing women like you. See you in the next episode.